Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. 24 and a half more minutes of programming to go here. Tim Wesley and now Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, morning, everybody.
And raised in Kansas City, we're in Tupelo, and we thank you for listening wherever you may be. So, Steve, you showed me a young lady in China that's how tall?
7'5". She's 16 years old. She's playing basketball. It looks like a parody of something because she looks like proportioned like a normal person.
Yeah.
But she's just like twice as big as everybody else on the court.
A 7'5 girl.
At 16.
I want to know how tall she was at 8.
Right?
Well, probably 6 foot tall. I mean, I'm just thinking.
No, right.
Yeah, that's
just mathematically.
Well, she's playing, obviously. Well, Ray, you got this. When you get to be over 6'3", first question people ask you is, did you play basketball, right?
That's right. Number one question. So how's she doing as a basketball player, Steve?
I'm going to send you this clip, Ray.
Okay.
Is this in China? Is this from? Is this video from China?
It is in China, yeah.
I wonder if we'll see her in the Olympics, maybe.
Well, I would imagine.
7'5" tall.
This just tells you how my mind works on stuff like this.
Okay, be careful.
All right.
Check your email there, Ray.
Amongst the first question I had, which is how tall do you think she was at 8? Next question or next statement would be, you gotta believe she had some growth pains somewhere along the way.
Oh yeah, I think you're.
You know what I mean?
It's safe to say maybe still having them if you're 16 years old.
I know.
Hey, there is also a kid. For me, it's a kid. Well, he's 17, I think, and he lives in Florida, and he's a high school senior, and he's 7'9" tall. Okay, put this in perspective. He pats Shaquille O'Neal on the head and says, "How you doing down there, little fella?"
Right.
Okay, Tim,
7'9".
Sir. Steve just sent me the picture of the Chinese player. She looks exactly like what you described. She looks like she's twice as big.
She is.
As that girl who's trying to guard her. Mm-hmm. I mean, all you got to just throw the ball up. She'll grab it. Nobody can stop
her. All right, back to our discussion about the free will of man versus versus God's providential will.
Right, right.
I think these poor girls trying to guard her, they're doing all they can.
Oh, yeah.
They're using their free will, but it's God's decision to make this girl.
She's predestined to dunk that ball.
That's a good one. She's 7 foot. Do you say 7'5", or do you say she's 7'5"?
Or just 7'5"? I don't know.
Five. Well, I mean,
7'5".
Country folks say she's 7'5". You know what I'm saying?
Right,
and,
sure.
And maybe it's both. I think it could be both ways. But the young man in Florida is 7'9". He's like 17 years old. So I'm thinking he may end up being 8 feet tall. Can you imagine something like that?
And someone
of that height? Go ahead.
And you look at him to play. I mean, okay, so I went to school with a guy who was 7'8". George Bell. He roomed across the hall with me. And, 7'8". He went to Biola. He was on their basketball team. He's now a police officer in Virginia somewhere. But anyway, his name is George Bell, 7'8". At the time, the tallest basketball player in America, or the history of America. This guy surpasses him. But George was the second string center on our team because, like the boxer, who was it? George had hands of stone. He could not.
Sure.
He couldn't move. He was all arms and legs, and 7'8" didn't really have it coordinated that well.
Oh yeah, you have
just stand there, George. Just stand
just
there.
Just stand there, right? You don't want to dribble in the basketball, but this kid, this 7'9" kid, he moves.
Yeah,
he moves really well. Can dribble the ball. This guy is going to be something.
Nine is just unbelievable. All right, so what's your first story, Steve?
Well, we've been talking for a while now about the vaccines and the problems surrounding the vaccines, the COVID vaccines. We have a new lawsuit that's been filed by Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach. He is suing Pfizer, alleging that Pfizer misled the public that the vaccine that it produced was safe. They're seeking civil monetary penalties, damages, and they say that Pfizer willfully concealed, suppressed, and omitted material facts related to the COVID-19 vaccine, among them its safety for women, pregnant women. He said in February of 2021, they possessed reports. They knew that of 458 pregnant women who had received Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine during pregnancy, more than half of the women reported adverse events, and more than 10% of the women miscarried.
So what do you make of this?
It's been coming for a while.
Who's this bringing the
case? This is Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach. So there was a research paper that was printed and then it was withdrawn from a journal. This is a year ago or so, and the article was entitled "The Safety of the COVID-19 Vaccinations: We Should Rethink the Policy." This journal published it and then withdrew it because the people on the board of the journal didn't like the narrative that it portrayed. AstraZeneca has withdrawn its COVID vaccine internationally. It never was in this country, but they have pulled it because of safety concerns. We have several studies coming out that documented the sometimes fatal side effects. There's a guy in Japan. His name is Mansuri Fukushima. He said the shots are, quote, essentially murder, and he's finding new turbo cancers previously unseen by doctors. This is a cancer doctor in Japan.
Well, we also remember we had a month or two ago, we had the audio of previous CNN host Chris Cuomo.
Yeah.
He had the doctor on that was he did an interview with the doctor who had once supported the COVID shots, at the time they called them vaccines when they originated. Vaccines, he supported them. And then later on, he's just a medical doctor waiting for data to come out. So the data he had at the time, he said, yes, this is right. And then he has now since changed his mind, saying, now that we're 3 years into this, we have more data. And now the data that we have now is the opposite of what we had at the time. So he's now changed his mind completely based on information like this and more coming
Interesting
out.
Interesting that all of us non-medical types
I'll get
read
the guy's name.
We've been saying all along that something fishy. Oh, all of a sudden the data changed? Yeah.
Well, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we played the audio clip of the former director of the Centers for Disease Control.
Redfield.
Which is it?
That's a good question.
Redfield. Robert Redfield.
Okay. Anyway, he was on...
With Chris Cuomo.
We don't still have that, do we? Anyway, this former CDC director, and he was making... It was a long interview. We didn't play it all.
That's the one that Wesley's talking about.
But what struck me was this is the former CDC director, and do we have it? Okay, we'll just play it again right here. Okay, this is, what's his name again?
Robert Redfield.
Okay, so what was the lady's name who's CDC director during COVID?
Rachel Walensky.
All right. Well, we all remember her, even if you can't recall her name, right? She was on TV all the time.
Right.
Right? Talking about COVID. And
best buds with Fauci.
And so the gentleman you're about to hear was her predecessor. And so the things coming out of his mouth in this interview with Chris Cuomo, me, were kind of stunning. But anyway, we'll play part of that. Go ahead.
I mean, I was upset with CDC when I left because they stopped tracking people that were infected that were previously vaccinated. So if you
Why?
Didn't track it, well, because then you couldn't report that there were people vaccinated that got infected.
But no, wait, why did they stop tracking it?
But I think there was a decision not to do anything that made the vaccine sound like it didn't work. You know, I've always tried to be honest that I think there was some major mistakes in the vaccines. They should have never been mandated. I also felt that people should have been more honest about the fact that there were side effects to those vaccines, and some people were actually harmed. The other thing, I thought there should be, you know, more honesty about the fact that the vaccines don't protect against infection. I remember Biden saying, you know, this is a epidemic of the unvaccinated. When I was Hogan's chief public health advisor in Maryland after I left CDC, I was saying, wait a minute, 2/3 of the people that I'm seeing infected in Maryland have been vaccinated. I mean, the president of the United States said it. Biden said this was an epidemic of the unvaccinated. Tony wasn't aggressive in putting this in perspective. The CDC didn't put it in perspective. The reality is this vaccine, listen, it's a short duration in which this vaccine provides some efficacy, maybe 4 to 6 months max.
Okay, so there it is, and that was just a clip.
Yep, former director of the Centers for Diseases, who you just heard from.
Yeah, he looks like the guy on the Quaker Oats.
It does.
Or Robert Bork, one of the two.
Yeah, the beard without the mustache. Anyway, so there you go, Ray. What he was saying, you know, this whole COVID response and what came out about Dr. Fauci and what he was doing and saying behind the scenes that he wasn't saying out front, what this gentleman's talking about, the credibility and trust of the medical community and the scientific community in the U.S. took a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
A big hit. And it was for the reasons this fella's talking about. He was, you know, we were being pitched that we were being told that if you take the COVID vaccine shot, you won't get COVID.
That's right.
That turned out to be not true. If you get the COVID vaccine shot, you won't spread COVID. That turned out to not be true. So, and then you had all the other things that had been exposed in the news. And I'm just saying, and you go back to the time that we were experiencing this, you know, we were told, you need to sit down and shut up.
Yeah. Well, you know, go ahead. Also too, another noteworthy thing to point out is that at the beginning of all of this, those that were on the far, far left, they enjoyed the government control of the citizens. So they want, one of many things that they wanted to do at the beginning was, we need to track who's got the shot and how many people's gotten the shot. How many and who. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to track it, right? So you'd go places, they want to know, hey, did you...
That never did develop, did, but they
it never
wanted
did.
To.
But not who part that did, but the number of people they did track. And so what was interesting, though, later on, now they, as Robert Redfield pointed out, they started advocating for the other way because they were realizing that there were so many issues with it. They didn't want to have a number of how many issues were wrong with it. Therefore, never mind. Let's not keep up with how many got it or who's got it, because then then the evidence are going to come out. Well, this is how many people has had issues with it.
I'm going to just say this out loud, and I'm not the first person to say this, and I have no evidence to support what I say. It's my thoughts. This was all about money.
Oh, sure.
It was about authoritarianism and control. And these people like Dr. Fauci were on a power trip, okay?
Sure.
But also the money that was invested in getting this vaccine to market in 6 months or 7 months, just bypassing all the normal steps. And then the people pushing, this just sounds corrupt in a way, but you got doctors telling people to get the vaccine. You got the pharmacy companies getting money from the government to make the vaccine. You got the commitment of so you got all this vaccine. You got to push it and promote it, right? You got to get people to buy it. So the pharmaceutical companies make a killing, no pun intended. and the You see how this all, and the doctors, I remember the doctors at the time, and still today, the doctors who will say something like what this gentleman just said out loud, they're like looking over their shoulder to make sure nobody's listening to them in the office because they don't want to be reported to the to their colleagues, so they'll be cut out because they're going against the company line being push the vaccine, push the vaccine.
Doctors in this
push the vaccine. Go ahead.
Well, doctors in this camp, meaning having holding this position now that Robert Redfield has come full circle, saying, "Look, we just I'm not on either side here. I'm just telling you the science here, the data that we have after 3 years."
He isn't against the vaccine. He was saying it was oversold.
Yes,
it was overpromoted.
Now he has come even further since that clip, and he is beginning to say he has said since then that there are certain vaccines that he is against based on the number of side effects that come with.
I got you.
And then there are some. There are.
I'm at the COVID vaccine.
The COVID vaccine, and there are some that he would advocate more.
Yeah.
In its proper context, but the bottom line here is that we have been. We need to remember this. And how this unfolded, because if this were to happen again, we've got to have...
Ray, go ahead. Any thoughts on this?
Well, two things. The sentence he said that rang truest to me, he said the vaccine should never have been mandated. Exactly right.
That's right.
Exactly right. It should never have been mandated. All our problems started with, you've got to take it, or you're going to lose your job,
position,
we're going to kick you out of the military.
Amen.
You should never have been mandated. And following on with that, we should not have shut down the school system the way we did, because we heard a whole generation of young people, children really, that we're only beginning now to understand.
Bingo. Steve?
The other thing I want to say is how the world has changed. If he had said that back in 2020, he would have lost his license or gotten in trouble, lost a job, whatever. But now he is speaking the truth. And everybody goes, that's right, because we all understand we were sold a bill of goods back in 2020. And the truth now is coming out.
You're absolutely right about the money. It was about the money. There was a parallel track, a political parallel track going on, where you had people like Stephen Colbert or one of the talk show, late night talk show hosts saying, if you have... COVID and you're not vaccinated, you should just go die. And it became a political litmus test if you wore a mask.
Well, also, it separated families. I remember, a lot of people experienced this. I remember a family member of ours, an extended family member, not to me personally, but was telling another family member, you going to get the vaccine shot? No, not going to do that. Oh, so you know better than the experts. Okay, I don't think I'm coming to Christmas. No, it was serious. They were serious. Like, I don't think we're going to come over for Christmas if y'all aren't going to get the vaccine shot. That's how it was at the time.
And I remember watching some guy on my Twitter feed, just some random Joe, who said it was like a year after the pandemic and he was still wearing a mask. He says, I don't want to take my mask off because I don't want anybody to think I'm a Republican. Honestly.
Well, listen, I had a tour group in Washington, D.C., and we were right outside the Capitol, and we were being, and there was a congressman talking to us. This was about 50, 60, 70 people. I forget exactly how it was. This was like in June, or was it September? It was June or September after COVID broke out in March, okay? I forgot whether it was June or September. Anyway, we're standing outside. And the congressman is talking to us, right? Talking to the group about the Capitol building. Some guy is jogging along with his mask on and feels the need to stop and pulls his mask down and starts berating our group. Like, you don't care about your fellow human beings. And, and he said, you're listening to your idiot in charge in the White House. He was obviously not a fan of Trump. He was saying, in other words, you're a bunch of MAGA yahoos here out killing people. And the congressman said something about, had a good response, said, sir, you need, this guy was about 30 feet away. Okay. He stopped
outside.
He was jogging and he stopped to berate the group for not having mask on. Right. He's jogging with his mask on. But the congressman said, well, sir, you need to pull your mask back up because you're spraying COVID on us. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And because he had pulled his mask down to shout at us about not having masks on.
Yes.
But that's how a lot of these whacked out liberals were at the time.
Can you imagine,
Ray? They were in control mode.
Can you imagine, Ray, riding your bike with a mask on, what it does for your oxygen intake?
I saw some people doing that. I saw them doing it.
That's just.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's. Yes, it is. We got 5 minutes. What's your next story, Chris?
Let's talk about let's talk about being under the microscope of Josh Hawley.
Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri.
Senator from Missouri.
You don't want him on your case.
He had the CEO of Boeing, Mr. Calhoun, under oath at a hearing recently, and decided because Boeing has had some issues lately, and by the way, Boeing has a couple astronauts that are stuck on the International Space Station right about now waiting for...
You're serious.
Yeah. Waiting for someone to fix some leaks in the Starliner so they can go get them. But this was Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri and Mr. Calhoun at this hearing the other day. This is...
He's a Boeing CEO?
He is the CEO of Boeing. Do you have the number?
What is it that you get paid currently?
Senator, that's... well disclosed in our proxy documents in each of the years that I've been employed.
Yeah, but what is it?
It's a big number, sir.
Well, let me help you out. It's $32.8 million this year. Does that sound right?
Good. Nice.
Yes, it does.
That's a 45% increase over last year. Does that sound right?
Yes, it does.
What is it you get paid to do exactly?
I get paid to run the Boeing company.
Yeah. So just help me understand that. I mean, do you get paid for transparency? Is that one of the metrics for your income?
I think the board counts on me for transparency.
Really? Because you're under investigation for falsifying 787 inspection records. The Boeing's under criminal investigation for the Alaska Airlines flight. You were investigated by DOJ for criminal conspiracy to defraud the FAA. This is all in your tenure. This doesn't sound like a lot of transparency to me.
Ouch. Huh?
Oh, brother.
I think everybody understood what he was saying there at his point.
Yeah, that was Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri just verbally undressing the gentleman there. But you know what? The Boeing's taken it. They've had some major PR.
Not just PR stuff. I mean, almost every day you get a video out of some passenger filming their engine on fire as they go flying or the landing and losing a wheel.
Sometimes I wonder, though, and I'm just wondering, you know, you got so many jets out there flying all over the world. They've got the Boeing name on them. I mean, you're going to have – you are going to have – if every little incident is highlighted, you know what I'm saying, it's going to make you look bad.
Well, that proliferation of events, however common per thousand aircrafts they are, it wasn't the same a year ago. All of a sudden, you're starting to see more of them, and I don't know.
Trying to cut costs?
You do have some aging aircraft out there,
too. And, of course, they've been highlighting diversity in their hiring. I'm just saying.
Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. All right, we're out of time here. Steve, tell us about if folks want to get their news from our news agency. How do they do that? What do you work for?
Yes, go to afn.net. You can sign up there for our daily email. We'll send you the highlights of the day of what's going on in the news.
What's the website?
afn.net.
Okay, thank you, Wesley.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Our thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, and then... Christopher Woodward was on earlier, and Dr. Frank Turek. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Stay with us throughout the day. We'll see you tomorrow.